like to consider some of the Word of the Lord tonight. We would again ask Him to bless it to us, open our understanding. I'm impressed with a verse in the fourth chapter of 1 Peter, especially the first verse. It says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, reveling, banqueting, idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit." I want to go back to the first verse. That's what my thought is tonight, where we're instructed to, even as Christ has suffered in the flesh, that we would arm ourselves likewise with the same mind. And that we would, when I think of arming, I think of preparing or conditioning ourselves in with the like thought or the like mind. And even as Christ, who is our example, Son of God, pure and innocent and holy, he has suffered in the flesh and denied the flesh that he might live righteous and holy and accomplish the will of the Father. So he's instructing us that we ought to arm ourselves or prepare ourselves likewise. What I like about the Word of the Lord is that it tells it just like it is. Sometimes when people are endeavoring to promote something or sell a product, they tell you just the one part of it, the good part of it. You ever have anyone talk about something they're trying to sell and they never get around to telling you the selling price or what it's going to cost? They just want to talk about the benefits of it, and they never can seem to get them to relate the whole story. Well, I found that with the Lord, found in the Word of the Lord, that He tells it the whole thing. He tells us what the cost is. He tells us what the rewards are, the benefits, and the blessings. And in the Word of the Lord, as we look into it tonight, we'll find out that as we live for Him and as we cease from sin, there will be a price or a cost of the flesh. There is a suffering in the flesh, and He says, arm yourself, or come to the realization and come to the conditioning that as I live for the Lord and as I serve Him, there is a price, there is a cost, and it really isn't worthy to be compared with the reward or the glory. But nevertheless, we mustn't neglect or disregard there is a price that's involved in living for God in the world today. It says, "For as much as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh," I'd like to briefly consider the fact that the Lord did surely suffer in the flesh. He was willing to do that to accomplish the will of the Father. And to remind us of that, I just turned to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, just to refresh our memory. And in the third verse it said, "He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we as it were our fate we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. This is prophecy of the Lord and of his reception in the world, how that he really wasn't received well, he was rejected, how that he suffered a great deal unjustly, but he still, by choice and because he was willing, he suffered in the flesh that he might accomplish what God had designed and what God had willed in his life. And that was necessary. In the 13th chapter of Hebrews, in the 12th verse, it says, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate, and was willing to submit himself or yield himself to God's purpose and God's plan. And in doing so, he didn't come into the world into a king's palace. He didn't come in living a life of ease and a life of grandeur, or that the flesh would somewhat look to, but as we brought out, to accomplish his mission, to do the will of the Father, and to bring about what he brought for us, to accomplish that, it was through his suffering. It was through his willingness to suffer in the flesh. And tonight I believe that it's important to recognize that the Lord suffered because he was willing to suffer. Just like we teach to us today that to be saved, we must be willing to repent, that we must be willing to believe in the Lord, to be sanctified wholly. We must be willing to consecrate and dedicate our life to the Lord. The Lord doesn't force any of that on us. He also has that which he wants to accomplish in our life that only can be accomplished as we're willing to suffer for him and for his name's sake. And so that's why we're taught to arm ourselves, or to recognize that I think there can be a certain amount of preparation by our will and by our choice, our consecration. Lord, I'm consecrating to be used of you and want you to use my life. And I realize what that involves. It will cross the preference of the flesh, my own desires sometimes, my own convenience. There will be some times that unjustly I'll suffer for your name's sake, for your cause. But by choice I'm going to arm myself, even as the Lord armed himself. And as he was willing to yield to the will of the Lord, the will of the Father, so I'm going to arm myself, and I'm going to have that prayer and that desire before the Lord. Lord, I want you to use my life, even if it costs me, even if I have to suffer some, Lord, I want you to accomplish that in my life. Most of the time we don't pray like that, do we? Most of the time we're praying and asking the Lord to deliver us, to actually deliver us from any inconveniences or any suffering that he might see that would be well for us or for his cause. And that's human. That's natural. I'm not saying it's wrong altogether, but most of the time that's the way we pray. Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. And that's human, and that way we would be justified with a prayer like that. Lord, if it's possible, I'd rather not suffer this. But we want to always, the bottom line, so to speak, we want to say, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And whatever will glorify you, whatever will honor you, whatever will bless your cause in my life, I want to humbly submit to that, and I want that to be what you work in my heart and life. So to arm ourselves and to recognize tonight that it might be in his plan, it might be in his purpose sometimes for us to be denied or to suffer in the flesh to accomplish his purpose or his will. I want to read a few scriptures in the 15th chapter of St. John. The 18th verse, this is Jesus speaking. He said, "If the world hates you, You know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. We need to arm ourselves with this truth. And recognize tonight that we are pilgrims and strangers. We're the elect. We're God's people. And we really don't fit well in the world. And to try to live for the Lord and try to be successful in our service to Him and yet to have the approval and the fellowship and to fit well in the world, it really doesn't work that way. It didn't work that way with the Lord. You know, when the Lord came, if anyone deserved to be honored and received in a gracious way and loved and appreciated, it was the Lord. But the Lord wasn't received that way. He's taught us plainly that the world, meaning the spirit of the world, and the hardness of men's hearts, and through their unbelief, and because of His coming, that it brought guilt and condemnation unto them, they rejected Him and they hated Him. So tonight He's telling us to arm ourselves likewise, that as we truly live for the Lord, and the closer we live to Him and the more like Christ we are, the less we're going to fit in the world. And really the less we're going to be accepted as far as fellowship in the world. And it's true that there are individuals in the world that are not saved that might have some appreciation for those that are living for God. We see that from time to time. But in general, the very spirit of the world is set against the truth or the light because of the guilt and the condemnation it brings. Now you know that most of the persecution generally doesn't come from the heathen. It doesn't usually come from just real hard unbelievers. But most of the persecution comes from the Pharisees and from the scribes. The reason for that is because as you live the truth and as you truly let the Christ-like life live without of our life, it brings a certain amount of guilt and condemnation. So tonight we must also recognize that we don't fit in the world. We don't fit in the religious world. You can't live righteous and holy and a godly life and really have fellowship with the religious world. You can't. You're not of that spirit. Therefore, as the Pharisees, the religious world, rejected Christ and accused Him, you remember, didn't they call Him a winebibber, a blasphemer? They falsely accused Him. And as you live for God, and as He shines out of your heart and life, I think we're going to have somewhat the same response today from the religious world. They will bring accusations, and they'll accuse, and they'll reject. And that's what the Lord is endeavoring to teach us. He wants us to arm ourselves with this and to be aware that that's our situation in the world today. It says, if you are the world loves his own. And that ought to cause us concern when we fit too well in the world. And when even the religious world embraces or has that fellowship and you get too well, what should I say, entwined or there is that fellowship in a religious world that doesn't accept all the gospel, there ought to be a concern. We ought to have a concern. Because it clearly teaches us that the world rejected the Lord. It hated the Lord. And it says, because we're not of the world, they'll also hate us. Then Jesus said, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. And if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will I do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. And so, as the Lord has showed us here, that as He is the light of the world, and as He is the truth, and when He lived here, as He lived here, He brought light and understanding, and that brought responsibility and guilt and condemnation. I believe tonight that the more we live like Christ, the more of His grace and power and strength to live righteous and holy that we have within our life, it also will work that way today. You'll come in the world, and as you truly live for the Lord, your life, the truth in your life, the light in your life is going to bring guilt at times. It's going to bring condemnation. And to those that would hear the Lord or receive the light or the truth, He said they'll also receive you. And that's true. There are some times that as you live for the Lord and serve Him, it will be a positive influence, and people will respond. They'll appreciate it. They'll even benefit and be blessed by it. But in many cases, they will reject that. And so, tonight, we want to arm ourselves to know that if we live for God, if we live really a righteous and a holy and a pure and a godly life, simply not going to fit in the world when it comes to the fellowship and their approval. In 2 Timothy, the third chapter, speaking of the times in which we live, perilous times, Apostle writes, "For also this know, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And then he tells about all the unrighteous things that will be in the world that we see and know today. Blasphemers, boasters, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, all of those terrible things, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. But in the 10th verse it says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. Persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Familiar scripture, isn't it? All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, will not be well received, will not be, you know, the real popular people of the world as they live godly in Christ Jesus. Tonight, we may not be in the heat of a severe trial. We may not feel sorely afflicted or persecuted. But my text tonight says, arm yourself with a like mind. In other words, condition or recognize that God in our lives may design times when He permits us to be tested and persecuted and not treated justly. And in those times, even as the apostle said, "But the Lord delivered him out of them all." I'm convinced tonight that it is when we suffer in the flesh, though we would not choose it, though we would not really pray for it, generally that's the time that the gospel or our testimony is most effective and the gospel is able to go forth in a great way. It was that way in the early church, in the 8th chapter of Acts, I believe it is, following Stephen's being martyred. I believe it talks about how the church was persecuted and how the church was scattered, different ones scattered out throughout the region, that perhaps only persecution and only opposition would accomplish or bring about. And I know it isn't a pleasant thought tonight. I know that it isn't something we like to think about, but I do feel it's important that we arm ourselves and consecrate ourselves to the Lord, and to the point that I'm willing to suffer with Him, that I also would reign with Him. Arm ourselves, in like mind, that as the Lord has suffered, so that I would be willing to suffer, whether it's to a small degree or to a great degree. Then in my heart, I would love Him so dearly, I would love His cause so much, that by choice, that I'd be willing to suffer for His name's sake. Now, excuse me. In the ninth chapter of Acts, I know we're all pretty much familiar with the calling of the Apostle Paul. And I think sometimes of how we pray for the work of the Lord. I hope we do. And I think sometimes of how we're concerned for the work of the Lord and how we like to see it progress. We like to see souls, more souls being saved. We often, even in our congregation, request prayer for more laborers and for pastors, for evangelists, missionaries, personal workers. And we recognize the need, and we're praying for the need. Now, tonight I'm thinking that maybe one of the things that will bring it about is something maybe we haven't thought of too much. And so I would call our attention to the Apostle Paul, who was probably the most effective worker for God. And the scripture here in the ninth chapter, the Lord says in the 15th verse, speaking to Ananias, He said, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel." Wonderful calling, isn't it? Don't we all want to succeed? Don't we all want to be chosen vessels of the Lord? Don't we want the Lord to work mightily through our lives? Use us in a great way? I hope we do. I hope we're praying to that end. But there's a cost involved. We need to arm our minds likewise, see. When the Lord said He's a chosen vessel, He's a special tool. I'm going to use Him in a special way. He's going to bear my name to the Gentiles, going to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. And He also went to the Jews. You remember He went to the kings and the governors. When we think about His ministry and His life, we think from the time of His conversion, what a tremendous success. What a wonderful life. Souls saved, congregations established, many healed, and great guidance into deeper truth. That was His ministry. That was His life. He's a chosen vessel of the Lord. But God works so much different than humans do. You know, we think of someone great. We would have thought probably of making sure they had everything right at their hands, and we serviced and cared for them and chauffeured them. Just tried our best to make them effective in our human ways. That isn't the way that God accomplished that, is it? He went on to tell, "I will show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake." If he's going to be successful, if he's going to be that chosen vessel, if he's going to be great, there's a price to pay. And I don't mean to depress us tonight in any way. But I want to encourage us to arm our minds and our hearts. And if you really, and I hope we do tonight, want to be successful and be great men and women of God and be used greatly of God, that we, again I would say by choice, must be willing, must be ready to suffer for His name's sake. Because that's really when great things are accomplished. We have to admit it. As we read it through the Word of the Lord, and as you meditate and think about it, it wasn't when everything was just rolling along smooth in the natural man of God's people that great things were accomplished. It was when there was adverse and hard times that God showed His power and His glory and is victory. And so I'm not asking you tonight to pray and ask the Lord for sufferings, but let's just pray and ask the Lord to use us and to bless us and be willing for whatever He would see fit to use our lives and to accomplish through us. I noticed that the Apostle Paul had armed himself. He was prepared for his calling in the 21st chapter of Acts. You remember when the prophet Agabus, in the 10th verse, he came down and he took Paul's girdle and bound it in his own hands and feet and said, "Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and to deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. A very human, a very natural thing. A man of God, a prophet, declared that the Holy Ghost had showed him that whoever owned this, that should they go up to Jerusalem, they were going to be bound. They were going to suffer. They were going to be given over into the hands of the Gentile. And so those that loved him so dear, those that had his interest and really cared about him in a human way, said, "Don't go up there." And wouldn't we probably respond the same way? And we knew that there was going to be some suffering involved, we'd probably feel the same way. But the apostle responded to their beseeching him not to go up there. And he said, "What mean ye to weep and break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we see saying, 'The will of the Lord be done.'" And it was done, wasn't it? Natural concern and care, human, just a human reaction. And Paul says, "No, I'm ready. I'm ready to suffer. I've armed myself as the Lord has suffered, so I'm willing to suffer. I'm willing to bear my cross. Not only suffer, but I'm willing to die for His name's sake." That's what I would consider arming ourselves. Okay. We that have ceased from sin, we that have consecrated and dedicated and want to live for the Lord and serve Him, we arm ourselves that way. "Lord, I'm ready. And I'm willing to suffer for your name's sake. Whatever you permit, whatever is honoring and glorifying to you, and however you can use my life, I want you to do that. Not my will, but thine be done." And that's where the Apostle Paul was. If we want to have success in our experience and the Lord living in this and working through us, we have to follow that pattern. The Lord suffered without the gate to accomplish the will of the Father. The Apostle Paul, he was willing to suffer. And I feel like tonight to really succeed and to be used of the Lord, we must have our life. And we must also on the altar and also must be willing to suffer. Now, the Lord, He has it all in His hands. And He'll not permit us to face things that are too great for us. The Lord will certainly direct and guide everything in our life. But chances are, maybe none of us will ever end up in jail or be beaten like the apostle was. What we're talking about is arming ourselves and having the willingness of heart. "Lord, whatever your will, whatever your purpose is, I want you to live in me and through me." Over in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and the 7th verse, the apostle again writes, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. And so we are totally consecrated. We're totally dedicated. We're totally given over to the Lord. And I know that when we seek the Lord to be sanctified, we make that consecration. I think it's important that we maintain the consecration. That I'm going, my life is the Lord's. And whatever He designs and whatever He permits, you know, whether it be evil men taking advantage or abusing me or doing me wrong, or whether He afflicts me and I suffer, whatever He permits in my life, the suffering that I might go through, I want it to promote His cause. I want it to be a testimony. And really, when you think about it, when I think of the life of Christ, we sang about it tonight, that old rugged cross. To think about that in the natural, it would be nothing but disaster. A just and holy man, falsely accused and nailed to a cross, and he was totally innocent. Just looking at the natural, had you been there and had you known him, you think, why did that happen if you didn't have the spiritual insight? See? But there's a beauty in it. That's what we admire. That's what thrills our souls. Is because of the love that took the Lord to the cross and His willingness to suffer agony and pain. His willingness to do that. There's a beauty in that because it was done for us. And that's when we sing that song and it blesses our hearts when we think of that. That the beauty of the cross, you know, and how meaningful it is to us and how we love it. It wasn't the natural and the suffering that made it beautiful, but it was the love and the willingness. And when you think of the Apostle Paul's life and you think of him being so successful, and we do, and we admire it, it wasn't that he was an eloquent speaker. It wasn't that he had great natural persuasion abilities or talents. And I don't know really what he looked like. You know, sometimes we're kind of impressed by people's stature. And I don't know what he looked like, but I know one thing, he had a beautiful life. And I know that something we admire and we quote and we draw strength from and we appreciate it. But I know that the foundation of it was he was willing to suffer. He was willing to be the chosen vessel. And we want to arm ourselves likewise. We want to arm it. We want to condition ourselves. Come before the Lord. Lord, I may not be a Peter. I may not be a Paul. But just let me be myself. Let me be willing, Lord, to suffer the reproaches of the gospel, of the cross. And come to an understanding of what it really means. It's more than just looking at it in the human. If we look at it just in the human, we'll back away. And we'll not be enticed by it. But if we can see it in the Spirit, the life that the Lord has for us to live, and the cross that He has for us to bear, if we can see that in the same Spirit that we see the cross of Christ, and the life of the Apostle Paul, then we can see a beauty in it. Then we can see an attraction, an appeal, and a willingness that I'll suffer for His name's sake. I'll be willing to do that. To His honor and to His glory. And that's what the apostle said here, is the way he lived, that Christ would be made manifest in his mortal or his human flesh. There's another scripture that always is a blessing to me in the 10th chapter of Hebrews. And the 32nd verse. It says here, but call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated, in other words, spiritual enlightened, ye endured a great fight of affliction, partly while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companion of them that were so used. In other words, your association. Then the apostle said, for ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense and reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. What I get out of this passage of Scripture was there was illumination, or there was an enlightenment, spiritual understanding. And he referred to those who were made gazing stocks. In the human, that's not pleasant. You know, we don't like to be made light of, fun of, kind of a gazing stock. But said, after you're illuminated, you was able to take that. He was also able to have compassion and identify with those too that were being so used. Said you was able to take joyfully the spoiling of your goods. That's suffering. But you recognize that through it all, you had a better substance, a greater reward in heaven. And that's true tonight. It's true that in the Scriptures, I believe in Timothy, it says that if we suffer with him, we'll also reign with him. I feel like tonight the Lord wants us to arm ourselves to be ready to identify with the Lord. Identify with the truth. And whatever it brings, you know, if it's received well and people are blessed by it, we'll accept that. And we can certainly appreciate that. But if it's rejected, and if it brings disdain, or if it brings a reproach, then I'm also ready to accept that. I'm ready to live for God. I'm ready to be faithful and true. And if I have to be considered the offscour, or if I'm considered, you know, a low life, or whatever what it might bring, I'm willing to do that for the name of the Lord, and for his cause and his sake. I'll arm myself in that way. In the 5th chapter of Matthew, Jesus said in the 11th verse, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." I'm sure that you've read that before. I have a number of times too. But what does the Lord really mean when he says, "Blessed are ye when men revile you, persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake"? Should the Lord permit that to happen to any of us, or to all of us? What he's saying, by faith, to rejoice. Actually rejoice that we is counted worthy to suffer for his name's sake. In the 5th chapter of the Acts, I believe it is, remember when the apostles were taken into council, and they were commanded not to teach in the name of the Lord, and they were beaten. And it tells us there, in the latter part of the 5th chapter, that as they departed from the council, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name's sake. I want to learn that better. I want all of us to learn it better. I want us to be armed with the understanding, with the truth, and what faith it takes to actually come to that place in our experience, individually and as a people, whatever God permits us to be denied or to suffer in the flesh for his name's sake, that we have such a faith and such a true hold upon God that we can rejoice. That we actually can rejoice in his name. I believe he said something about shouting, didn't it? Leaping and shouting for joy. That's quite an accomplishment. Going through a deep trial. Things not pleasant to the natural man, and maybe falsely accused and abused, and still be able to rejoice and leap and shout, knowing that the same things were accomplished in faithful men of God in times past? Arm yourselves likewise. In closing, I read in the 8th chapter of Romans. I like the 16th verse, says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." The apostles' testimony or assessment of it all. You know how much he suffered? Shipwreck, beaten, in prison. He really went through a lot of suffering and hard things. And he says, I don't really think it's worthy to be compared with the glory that should be revealed in us. Tonight, in the human, I hope we don't have a lot of troubles. I hope we don't have a lot of suffering. But I feel that we need to be armed or to be ready, whatever the Lord designs for our life. I believe there's a certain amount of preparation, and I know that we have to have daily strength and grace. And whatever the trial is, the Lord will provide the immediate strength and grace. I believe that too. But I believe that there's some knowledge, some understanding, some truth that he can reveal to us that will arm us and help us to recognize that really to have a strong, effective testimony, to be able to really witness for the Lord, I must be willing to suffer loss. Maybe just small losses. It may be greater losses. But whatever the Lord designs, that I'd have the willingness and want that to be accomplished in my life. A lesson like this doesn't really cause us to want to shout and jump. I understand that. But I certainly do appreciate each one tonight. Appreciate the way the Lord's blessing our lives. And I feel it is our desire that we want Him to use us in a greater way. That we want His glory to shine forth, want a stronger reach out to the world. And so I feel that part of it's right here. Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing for You to use my life. I'm willing, Lord, for You to have Your way. And if it's some small cost, I want to pay that by Your grace. And if it's greater, I want to be willing for that. And as we do it, above all, I think the apostle one place didn't he say, it is his desire that Christ would be magnified in him, whether by life or by death. And so I trust tonight that's the desire of each one of us. But above all, I want the Lord to live in me, to use me, to be magnified. And I'll be willing, whatever he designs for our life. Lord, bless each one is our prayer.